This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hi, folks. Welcome to the next installment of the Pigskin Past. My name is Joe Zagorski, and tonight I'm going to be re-examining Super Bowl V. Now, Super Bowl V was played in January of 1971. I didn't get a chance to watch it live. I was just a little too young. Super Bowl VI is the first Super Bowl that I remember watching. But Super Bowl V was a unique Super Bowl. It was between the Baltimore Colts and the Dallas Cowboys, but it represents a number of unique firsts in the league championship games. It was the very first Super Bowl after the new AFL-NFL merger of 1970. It was also the very first Super Bowl to be played on an artificial surface. PolyTurf was the specific name, played in Miami's Orange Bowl. It was also the first and so far only Super Bowl to see a member of the losing team be awarded the game's Most Valuable Player Award. And that honor went to Dallas linebacker Chuck Howley. It was the very first Super Bowl to go down to the wire before a winner was crowned. And of course, it was also the very first Super Bowl where the winner's trophy was renamed the Vince Lombardi Trophy because the great Green Bay Packers head coach passed away earlier that year in 1970. Now, Super Bowl V culminated what was considered up to that time the most competitive season in NFL history. The game itself was very competitive. And of course, now, years later, and certainly right afterwards, Super Bowl V has been derided by many onlookers with different names. Some called it the Blunder Bowl, others called it the Blooper Bowl. Some called it the Fumble Bowl, the Mistake Bowl, etc. You get the idea. Well, the game saw an incredible total of 10 turnovers, and that still ties with a Super Bowl record. I believe 10 turnovers also in Super Bowl XII. The game, if you saw the game or if you ever watched it on DVD or even if you saw the Super Bowl V highlight film, you'd have to agree that the hard hitting from both defenses caused a lot of those fumbles and interceptions, more so than just the apparent nervousness of the opposing offenses. You would have to say that the defensive performances of both the Cowboys and the Colts made Super Bowl V one of the best defensive Super Bowls of all time. Each team only gained four first downs by running the ball all game long. Now that's really stopping the run very well. And of course their passing attacks, they were hardly any more successful. Baltimore could earn only six first downs by throwing the ball, and Dallas could account for only five first downs by throwing the ball. And when you consider that guys like Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes get five or six first downs on one single drive by throwing the ball, let you know how far the offenses have come over the last several decades. Now, the Colts in Super Bowl V, if you think the rushing attacks were any better, they weren't. The Colts could only gain 2.2 yards per rush, while the Cowboys could only gain 3.3 yards per rush in Super Bowl V. So the running game, that wasn't getting it done, and naturally, there was no running back that gained anywhere near 100 yards in that game. Like I said, both defenses pretty much made their respective teams. They gained a berth in Super Bowl V because of their defenses. Those defenses, the Colts and Cowboys, surrendered hardly anything to the opposing offenses that they faced down the stretch of the 1970 regular season and in the playoffs. Specifically in the playoffs, Baltimore gave up a total of 17 points before they went into Super Bowl V. That's two playoff games. In the same amount of games, Dallas gave up only 10 points. It's interesting to note that both Baltimore and Dallas shut out their opponents in their divisional playoff rounds. Baltimore shut out the Cincinnati Bengals 17-0. Dallas shut out the Detroit Lions 5-0. And of course, 5-0 is the lowest scoring playoff game in modern NFL history, which Dallas won. Couldn't get a touchdown against that tough Detroit defense, but the Dallas defense was enough to help them win. It was the Dallas offense in Super Bowl V that really choked during the fourth quarter, and that ruined their chances to win Super Bowl V. Dallas quarterback Craig Morton threw 3 key interceptions in the fourth quarter, and that practically gave the game to Baltimore. One of those interceptions was picked off on a deflected pass by Baltimore safety Rick Volk, and he carried the ball right to the Dallas 3-yard line. A friend of mine, Tom Nowatzki, who scored a touchdown a couple of plays later, told me several years ago that, just to give you an idea of how unsophisticated the play calling was back then, he ran a dive play up into the middle, and he couldn't get into the end zone with it. So he goes back in the huddle with Earl Morrill, at that time the Baltimore quarterback, and he said, I ran it incorrectly. I was up too high. Just give it to me again, and I'll get it in there. And Morrill did, and he did. He scored. And to this day, he says it's one of his greatest thrills of all time, was being able to score a touchdown in a Super Bowl, especially a Super Bowl that you end up winning. Now, the Colts, on their hand, did try their hardest to give the game back to the Cowboys. I mentioned Earl Morrill, but Johnny Unitas also, they combined for a total of 3 interceptions themselves. Johnny started the game, but he was injured by a hit from Dallas defensive end George Andre that cracked some of Johnny's ribs, and Earl came in late in the second quarter and quarterbacked the team the rest of the way. But in the end, it was a rookie, Baltimore place kicker Jim O'Brien, who connected on a 32-yard field goal with just 5 seconds remaining to win Super Bowl V for the Colts, 16-13. Yes, it was a mistake field game, but it was an extremely exciting game which went down to the wire, and it was thus a great Super Bowl game to begin what is arguably the greatest decade in pro football history. Once again, this is Joe Zagorski, thanking you for listening to the Pigskin Past. Have a good day.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.